It's kind of like you and me. We sound just alike, so people probably wonder.
Absolutely. They think, gosh, is that Adam?
Yeah, is that Adam is that Rick? Who's talking right now? Yeah.
If they heard us sing, they'd even be I can't think what I'm trying to say. It'd be more that way.
Okay. Let's go ahead and intro the show.
Okay.
Don't have much banter going on, so let's go ahead and get started.
Well, welcome to the weekly, bi-weekly, somewhat weekly podcast with Rick and Adam, where we talk about tons of stuff, technology. We tend to kind of just BS for most of the time.
Yeah.
We do answer a lot of listener email and viewer email, and by viewer I mean on the website. But again, my name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Adam Cochran.
And I am at helpmerick.com and on Twitter at helpmerick, and hopefully soon on Facebook at helpmerick as well. We're working on that right now.
Oh, it's there. It's there. I'm sure it's working.
So we'll
I'm sure it's working.
Okay. And then Adam is at talkingdigital.org.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean the URL?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't use the URL. But if you go to Facebook and type in Help Me Rick,
you'll find
it. You're the only all one word. Put it in as all one word and you'll find us. Like our page and you will receive updates as we update helpmerick.com.
And Adam, you're at?
I'm at Talking Digital on Twitter, and I'm also facebook.com/talkingdigital. So,
and your website, kind of. talkingdigital.org.
You know, just type Talking Digital, yeah, because really the /talkingdigital, I was an idiot and made that my personal page.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So it's not my
Is
it too late to separate
it? It's too late to separate it. So, but that's okay. You'll still find it. You'll just
call up Zuckerberg.
I'll just direct you to the right place. Yeah, Zuck. Hey, Zuck. I watched Facebook movie again this week.
Oh, you did? Is that on video already?
It hit Redbox. It actually went to Redboxes or at the same time it went everywhere else.
How did it hold up second time?
A little bit more boring the second time, okay. But still a good movie. And you know what was interesting is the second time, since I've read about it and since I know what's accurate and what's not, it's surprising how much of it is accurate.
Right.
And I also like the philosophies. They focus a lot more on the philosophy. I didn't catch it the first time how much they focused on each person's philosophy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Zuckerberg's, but Eduardo's and the Winklevosses and all that.
They weren't twins. Were they twins?
Yeah, they're twins. The Winklevosses, yeah. Winklevoss brothers. Yeah.
That's a funny name.
Row crew guys. Yeah, it is. But yeah.
Very cool.
But, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I knew it was coming out. I didn't know how soon.
Yeah, it's one of those that I could watch every, you know, once a year or once every couple of years. It's a decent movie. I mean, yeah, it really
it's
is
it's
good.
A very well-made movie. There's no
so
doubt about
I think
it.
It's so much better than the other, what's the author's name? The movie they made out of 21 or what was
oh,
the name
yeah,
of the book?
I agree.
That movie was terrible.
Yeah, those were based on the MIT kids that did the blackjack.
Right, which could have been a fantastic movie.
Bringing Down the House was the first movie.
Right, that's and right. Then, Bringing Down the House, but it was called 21 was the movie
was the
version.
Movie.
But it was more...
And unfortunately, it had old... what's
Kevin
name?
Spacey.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be
which
a good
he did
movie.
Good. I mean, it wasn't...
I never saw it yet. I haven't seen
Oh, you
it.
Haven't?
I have not seen
The
it.
Movie feels too short.
Yeah.
And it's not done... excuse me. It's not done as much like a heist film is what I wish. I wish it was more of a heist movie where each, you know, they well, focused on each person's roles and stuff like that because
it
really
would
could have been that.
The energy of The Italian Job. Do you remember The Italian Job?
Yeah, I think it's...
Which was a heist movie, which
I think
very...
it's comparable to that, but it doesn't... It just doesn't capture... Because, you know, the book is cool. The book just moves so quickly, but, yeah, you can... It's over... Well, yeah, it's over there. Working the lights in our studio is about the same as working the soundboard.
Well, Adam's got to reverse the fan. It's pushing the cold air down instead of...
you're right.
Or it's just...
You're right. Why is it spinning that way?
Or it's just stirring cold air. But that's okay. No problem.
Oh, well. Okay.
All right. Well, anyway. Since last week... Now, we did talk about this yesterday.
Alan Sorkin made the movie. Who wrote the book? I can't remember. Anyway, go ahead.
Alan Sorkin?
Isn't he the guy who wrote made the
no,
movie?
No, it's Ben's... Oh, Mesrick is the guy who wrote the...
Mesrick's the one who wrote the book.
That's
yeah.
right. And Mesrick mm-hmm. helped out on the screenplay, I think,
right.
of Facebook.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Since last week, Adam.
Yes.
One of the biggest news items to hit geekdom.
It will be the story of 2011, don't you think?
Boy, That's a big call.
I really think it will. No, I'm not talking about the news story, period, but the geek news story,
news story. But that's pretty bold this early in the year.
It's been 5 years in coming, you know? I mean, 4 years. I mean, people have been, it's been a rumor every single year. This year it actually happens. I'm not saying that it's the most important story. There may be other stories.
But because of that, is it a letdown? Is it a letdown because it's been out there for so long and they say, oh, yeah, well, finally.
No, I think it would be a letdown if Apple did what Apple does from time to time, and they're not going to do this. But if Apple were going to say, we're going to release the iPhone 4 to Verizon, but it won't have a camera or it won't have GPS. That's more like what Apple would do, and that would be a letdown. And I could see Apple doing something like that. But in this case, I think we're okay, and we haven't had that big letdown story yet. It still could come. It still could be something like, but we don't support, you know,
streaming video.
Streaming video, yeah.
I mean, or it could go the other way and say, we're going to put Flash on a Verizon iPhone.
Now, that would be cool, too. That would be cool, too. But I really think, knowing Apple, it tends to be the other way around. You know, we're going to give you this product that you absolutely want. Oh, but it's missing the one feature that you think, you know, that would make it terribly more useful, an SD card slot, sort of in the iPad.
So, of course, by now you've realized we're talking about the iPhone on Verizon.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. Hey, here's another interesting story. I just saw this just now. Top five discoveries in Apple iOS's 4.3 beta.
I saw that. I saw it last night, and I didn't want to talk about it because I thought it'd be geeky on the radio show.
Well, this is good for the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they think there's up to five new devices? Is that what it says? That's what this says.
Interesting. Now, see, I didn't see that. What I did see is that it's going to enable a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Oh, that's
nice. Did you see that?
It says purported references to two new iPhone models and three new iPads, according to Engadget. That's five new iToys in 2011.
Interesting.
So, I don't know what that means.
We'll see. Oh, well, we know that the iPad 2 is coming, so that's one. Yeah. We know the iPhone 5 is coming, so that's two. Mm-hmm. We know that there's a very good chance of a 7-inch iPad coming. Mm-hmm. There was a deal during CES, there was a news story that Samsung had won a big, big contract with Verizon from a company that most likely will be providing 7-inch glass. So that's interesting. So that's three. So we just have to figure out what the other two devices are.
Very interesting.
So maybe it'll be a 12-inch iMac.
It is pretty funny how things just get dissected. It's funny how things get dissected. They have this whole thing on Engadget, reveals new iPhone and iPad models, and rumors also suggest a possible absence of any button on the system.
That wouldn't surprise me. Would that surprise you?
No.
Yeah. No. Now, what about, here's the thing, though, is you need to be able to do a hard reset on the thing. So
I think you always got to have a power button.
Power button. Now, I wonder if they'll build that into the glass the way they have the touchpad. Well, they'll make it so that
you could always do a hard reset with software, I imagine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can on a computer. You just shut it off.
Right.
You know, through the start menu.
If it will. But see, if it's so locked up, you need a hard reset button.
I got you.
So I don't know.
Maybe they'll bring back a paperclip hole.
That would be cool with me. That's my favorite reset button because you never accidentally hit it. I like the paperclip hole.
Yeah.
To me,
I liked it on our Palms and our Trios.
Yeah.
Just undo the little stylus, put it in
that's
there.
That's it.
I think it was a guaranteed. You're right. Yeah. It's a guaranteed.
Yeah. So what else is going on? We had, do you have any other...
Any other news stories striking you today?
Well, I think that we need to, you know, CES, we'll talk about that just briefly. CES is still, the stories are still coming out and will for another couple weeks or so. The Verizon iPhone story really is kind of washing things out more than anything else. But, you know, everybody is saying that the tablets are here to stay, that there's a lot of them out there now. Mm-hmm. A few of them are getting exposure, but none of them are blowing people over. But I think one of the reasons that everybody's not wowed by the tablet is once you've seen a tablet, what else do you expect it to do?
I mean,
Samsung and Asus, I think both have, or no, maybe it's just Asus, has a model now where the top screen comes off and becomes a tablet. And so that's a cool trick, but it's not something that can't be done with any other tablet if you get the right case and a Bluetooth keyboard for it. But I think, you know, the reason people aren't wowed by them is because, you know, once you've seen the iPad or you've seen any tablet, you know, that's pretty much it, I think.
Well, I think that the early on criticism of the iPad was it's a big iPhone.
Right.
And that's really what a tablet is. If you've seen a smartphone, tablets are just a larger version of a smartphone. But that could be a good thing.
Right. And that's exactly right. One of the things, I bought an iPad since the last time we've talked, and I've been using it. And even though it's a big iPhone, the size really does make a huge difference to making it usable. I've been blown away how much easier it is to read and how much easier it is to surf the web.
But browse the web quite a bit?
A lot. And I read my email and all of that. I mean, but what it's done is it's moved the computer to the couch. Mm-hmm. I don't use it in restaurants. I have my cell phone for that. I use my cell phone wherever I go when I'm mobile. But when it comes down to sitting down and in front of the TV or reading email or something, it really is a couch device. I think that's what's really surprised me by it.
Adam has the Zag case that has a built-in keyboard. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting at the couch or maybe...
If I'm sitting at the couch, I usually don't have the keyboard.
So you're just using the on-screen keyboard.
I'm just using the on-screen keyboard for basic stuff. It's great. I mean, it's good enough. I still think that...
You're not going to compose.
There's got to be some better way of doing it. Yeah.
You're not going to compose a 1,000-word article.
I don't even write an email. Yeah. Right. I don't even write an email with it. If I do that, I pull out the keyboard. But it really is made for getting the job done of like checking Twitter and checking Facebook. Flipbook is incredible. I don't know if they have Flipbook on the iPhone or they don't.
I don't know.
Flipbook is amazing. That is my number one app. And on the iPad.
That's the app for Wikipedia?
It's the app that just pulls in RSS feeds and converts them into looking like something that's readable. Okay. So you don't have to follow links. You know, when somebody posts a Twitter picture or a video, it's embedded into there.
I haven't seen that. It
has a nice magazine thing. I think when you see it, you might want an iPad. It really is. It really is incredible. It's been one of my favorite apps, and it really is the thing where I go when I'm sitting on the couch and I just want to read through my Facebook and Twitter and CNET and see what's going on. It really is a nice app.
Very nice. Very nice. The one thing we're talking about, the pads, and here's a headline on today's tech news at Google, and it says tablet battle to heat up and prices to fall in 2011. Right.
And that's already happening.
Right. That piggybacks on what you talked about in terms of CES. Definitely this year's theme at CES was tablets.
I think that the tablet will catch on when people stop thinking of them as a novelty.
Right.
And they just start, and they get down cheap enough, around the $200 mark or so. When people stop thinking of them as a novelty, and they just start using them and realizing that they can have them, you know, portable and
what I've seen out in the field with a lot of folks who use computers primarily as email and games, that's their primary use, email and games, is that they have they started considering getting rid of their computer and using just a tablet. And of course this year the only really tablet on the market, at least until the end of the year, was the iPad.
Right.
And none of the folks that have done that have been disappointed.
Now, see, I couldn't use the iPad as my main laptop.
Right.
Even with the keyboard, because you can't store anything to the iPad's memory. And that doesn't seem like a very big deal, except for when you have a photo or a document or something that you want to say.
The iPad does have iWorks on it.
Right. You can download. Yeah, you can buy it. It's like $10.
Right. It's an extra thing. What happens to those documents?
Those I don't know. I'm sure that you can probably save them in there.
Yeah.
But how do you get them? And I'm sure there's ways.
And then you can email them.
But you can't download an email. You can't, at least that I've been able to find, you can't save an email attachment.
You can open them, but you probably can't save them.
Yeah, you can open them, but you can't look at them. I can open doc files just fine.
Right.
But I can't save, there's nowhere that says save this to your computer.
But
now, there might be.
But since you're a Gmail user, why do you need that?
That's a good question. Oh, but partly because I have the Wi-Fi version.
Uh-huh.
And with the Wi-Fi version, I have internet.
So, yeah. So, if you want to
work attachment. On a document while I'm traveling, you know, something like that. Now, Google Docs will work okay on it.
But again, you have to be wired.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go. So, like I said, I don't have works yet. Or I don't have the pages yet. So.
You bought this iPad. You actually talked about it before you bought it.
Yeah.
That this is a holdover. That you definitely plan on getting the iPad 2.
Yes.
That's your...
Yep. This will become our one of our kids' homeschool appliances, I think, when iPad 2 comes out.
So you may not sell it.
I don't know.
You're not sure?
It's possible I could. Okay. I also bought the 64 gig version.
Oh, you got the big one.
I got 64 gig version because of the resale value. I figured I could get more out of it when a new one comes out. So.
But you didn't get the 3G.
No.
Now, in your next model, do you think you'd consider the 3G?
No, because I'm going to root my Android and use that as a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Okay.
I would rather pay the $30 to my cell phone carrier and use it as a portable hotspot than
and
I
pay
would
an
to,
extra...
have, to have one device that can get on when I can make it so any of my Wi-Fi devices can get on. I don't see any reason
for
that.
What does Sprint charge right now to do it the legal hotspot?
It's $30 a month.
It's an extra $30 a month to do
a
hotspot?
$30 a month to enable a hotspot on your cell phone, but but it's unlimited. Period.
Now, if they had 4G in our area, that might be a good deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But since there is no 4G in our area.
I figure it's a holdover. I mean, you wait around for it. But how much is it for the iPad isn't
it's
much
$10
more
a month
than,
or 15?
For
1 month.
For 2 gigs?
Oh, you're right. It might not be unlimited.
It's not unlimited. I know it's not unlimited.
Yeah, you're right.
It's $30
so
a month
two
for the
tiers.
Unlimited thing. Yeah, there's at least two. So, anyway.
Now, let me ask you this. Back to your Epic on Sprint. Have you traveled to an area, because I know you've done a little traveling lately, have you traveled to an area that has 4G yet?
You know, Denver had it going on and off. I think they were experimenting with it in Denver because it wasn't until I got back, or not, was it Denver? Yeah, Denver. But it wasn't until I got back from Denver that they formally announced that it was available. So my coverage was really spotty in Denver.
Well, see, and I was in Dallas with a friend who had a Evo.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't get the 4G because Dallas has 4G.
Right.
And we're at the DFW airport, which you think would be covered.
You'd think so, yeah.
But it wasn't working.
Weird.
And that was probably a couple of months after they announced it.
Yeah, see, and I don't know what's going to happen with 4G anyway.
Have you heard anything about it nationally? Is it supposed to be working pretty well?
It's working well in the big cities.
Okay.
Now, I have heard that it's spotty in other places where it's just rolling out, but New York... Was San Francisco one of them?
I think so.
But yeah, in California and New York, I hear it's working pretty well and it's fast. But it has to be kind of spotty because of the way the technology works. It's not as ubiquitous and doesn't work as well as others forms.
But again, that's all changing.
Yeah.
That's all definitely changing.
Well, and LTE is really where all the contracts are going.
Right.
That's there's two different types of wireless. Broadband, I guess you could say. One of them is called WiMAX, and the other one is called LTE. Okay. And LTE is what Verizon and AT&T and everybody are signing up to. Sprint has signed up with WiMAX. So Sprint is one of the only WiMAX carriers. But from what I've heard on a lot of these new phones, switching over from LTE to WiMAX is somewhat of just a software update. So we'll see. I didn't expect my phone to last forever anyway. After 2 years, I'll change it to whatever the standard is. But that's where we're at.
Very interesting. Real quickly, one last thing on Apple.
Yes.
There was a Twitter, I don't know if you saw a Twitter post the other day, that from Kevin Rose. Do you follow Kevin Rose?
Yeah, Kevin Rose said something. Was that the iPad 2 one?
Yeah, he claims it's going to be out within the next 2-3 weeks.
Hmm.
So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, most of the analysts are saying April.
Yeah, I hope it's February.
I bet it gets announced in the next 2 or 3 weeks. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And they just say it's coming to market on this date.
Certain date.
That wouldn't surprise me. But again, Kevin Rose has been right many, many times, and he seems to have an inside source there.
Yeah.
But Apple also likes to put fake leaks out.
Right.
To see who
again,
will leak
they generate
it,
so much free publicity. Yeah. It's not even funny.
Yeah, Apple's
they are the king of that.
They are
sure.
Indeed. They are indeed.
Well, I'm going to answer a couple quick emails, Mr. Adam. The first one is from Gabby. I just pulled that out of the hat because it's kind of a neat name.
Sure.
And Gabby says, "How do I take Splash Top off of my laptop if I don't want it?" And I think that's a very interesting question because we haven't heard about Splash Top in a while, but I know it's out there and it's been in more and more devices.
And I'm surprised she doesn't want it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Splash Top, for those who haven't heard of it, Adam and I actually interviewed them probably 5 years ago at CES. And Splash Top is a, they got a whole new website now.
I think it was about 3 years ago.
Yeah, they've got a whole new website.
Yeah.
Splash Top is an instant on, just take a look at their website, Adam.
Okay.
They've really gone new. they've gone on to an instant start operating system. So basically what it is when you, and a lot of the new netbooks have it these days, they have two buttons. They have one button to push to go into the Splashtop desktop, and then they have one button that goes into your regular Windows or your operating system. And what it is a very separate small operating system based on Linux that's all browser-based. It's just a browser. You boot up, and it goes right to a browser.
Right.
And that's what...
Does it go just... I thought it had an option to play a DVD or something like that. Is that a different... Is that another one?
It might do media. Yeah, you're right. It might do media, but I'm not sure. But basically what it's for is for instant access to the web so that you don't have to boot into your OS. Now, I do have to admit, Windows 7 has made booting into your OS a little less cumbersome than past versions of Windows. So maybe it's not quite as necessary, but I still think it's a very cool idea. So for Gabby... I'm not sure which, she didn't say what model she has of laptop, but you can check with your manufacturer. But most of the laptops I've seen that have it actually have a separate dedicated button for it. So if yours doesn't have that dedicated button, there might be some way in the BIOS or some other way that your manufacturer has given you to disable that booting into that if you don't want to see that. So, either way, check that out, Gabby. So we appreciate that. But I think it's a neat idea. I thought it was a neat idea years ago, and that's when we were starting Vista, I think, yeah. Or maybe in the end of the XP era, where we thought that a fast booting computer is a great thing to have.
Absolutely.
So I think it's kind of neat. All right, we're going to go here next to Don from Grand Junction. Gabby was from Florida. He says, currently has a six-year-old PC, and he just purchased a 17-inch laptop. I never understand that. With Windows 7. Sometimes I am tech challenged. I'm going wireless is my next challenge. I have Bresnan cable. My questions are, what router do I suggest? Can I set up my router password on my PC? Do I need the modem? How do I secure the laptop before going online? All good questions.
Wow.
Router suggestion, I don't really mind brand. I just tell people don't spend more than $50.
Yeah.
You spend $50 or less and you're going to get an N router. That's the newest technology, 802.11n is in Nancy, but don't spend more than $50.
Right.
You really don't need to do that. So doesn't matter on brand, go from there. Can't you set up the router password? Yes, the router password and the security can all be set up through your desktop before you get your laptop on board. And yes, you need the modem because the modem is what's providing your internet, and the router only spreads the internet via wireless or through the four cable ports it'll have on the router. So yes, you have to have both, and you can't get around not paying Bresnan for the internet. So make sure that's a no-brainer there. You have to have both. How do I secure the laptop for going online? You already have some basic, probably trial software on there for security. And with Windows 7, what I just mainly suggest is as soon as you get online, uninstall whatever trial software came on there, Norton, McAfee, whatever might came with, get rid of that through add remove programs, or it's actually called uninstall a program in Windows 7, and then go to my website, helpmerick.com, and search for Microsoft Security Essentials, or just search for Microsoft Security. And you'll get a whole video and links on how to download the Microsoft security product, which is free and easy to get going. So that should get you up and running. Appreciate the email.
Cool.
Now, you were looking at routers. You see?
Yeah, I was just looking. Well, the thing I was looking at is I couldn't remember the name. There's the Linksys has actually, they were bought out by Cisco a while back.
Right.
And so now they put out Cisco and Linksys routers.
Okay.
And I always thought it's strange because they use the Cisco name, which is known for routers, for their budget brand of routers.
Really?
And they use Linksys for their higher end ones, but they look identical except for the color. The Linksys routers are black and the Cisco routers are white. And you know that it's the same people working on both machines. They just give them two different names. So, but the Cisco's are still over that $50 mark. So you're probably going to want to go with a Belkin or a,
there's no Linksys or Cisco's under 50.
Well, there might, I can't say that there's none, but
they're all pretty high up.
The Linksys and Cisco's tend to be more expensive, just looking at the prices. But there are, Belkins, and the other one was D-Link. That's the other one I was looking at. So anyway, but for a home system, that's generally all you need.
Right.
One of those
you should,
two.
You should be just fine on it. All right, let's do this one from Sue in Sacramento. She has a laptop with Vista and Office 2007. She had the trial version, but she never activated it. She just purchased a desktop with Windows 7, and it has the new 2010 Microsoft Office pre-installed. She bought Office Home and Standard, Home and Student Edition, and allows the product to be on three different computers. I'd like to use the second key to install and activate it on her laptop. Will I run into problems if I just insert the disk into Vista and ignore the old offer? The laptop currently has 2 gigs, 73. Okay, what I would do, Sue, is uninstall the 2007 version first. You probably will be okay. It'll probably upgrade what's there. But to be clean and make it start from nothing, start from scratch, just go in to uninstall a program on your Windows Vista laptop, uninstall the 2007 version that was there, that little trial edition, and that way the 2010 will go on there by itself and be nice and fresh for you. All right, I've been going girl boy, so let's do one from Anthony real quick. Anthony is from New York. He says, I hope you can help. I started getting 2 error boxes popping up after I started my computer today. Both were the same. One on top of the other was run.dll errors. I would close them on the red X and use the computer for a couple of days, and I was unable to open up MSN. A friend told me about System Restore. I went to the system and tried to do that, and I found nothing. I changed the computer date, and now it works. However, I still get those run DLLs. I'm afraid it'll happen again. What you have there, Anthony from New York, is spyware.
Yes.
Those run DLL things are related to some spyware that probably was on your system briefly and then got removed, but didn't get totally removed because some of the references to those spyware files were still left over. So I would go out and get yourself a copy of Malwarebytes. Just go to malwarebytes.org or go to my website, helpmerick.com, and I have a link to Malwarebytes. In fact, I just recently put up a video and a link so that you can learn how to download, install, and use the program. All right, let's take a break from email. Adam, got anything else over there that you've been looking at?
The Tiki Room at Disney World caught on fire.
The what happened?
The Tiki Room at Disney World. Have you ever seen the Tiki Room? I think it comes from Bedknobs and Broomsticks, the movie Bedknobs and Broomsticks, okay. I think.
Uh-huh.
But lots of animatronics and singing birds and all of that stuff. It caught on fire.
Wow.
I know, that's not really tech news, but I just noticed that's breaking news. And a lot of people would never know that if they hadn't heard it on helpmerick.com. Yeah, but...
That's why you listen to it, is for those kind of breaking
absolutely.
News
Absolutely, breaking news. Tiki Room catches fire. Now let's back on to tech news. And I'm just looking. There's the new Firefox beta has a new database standard, for what that's worth.
Hmm.
They're implementing. Yeah, there you go. You may not remember this. Way back, Google announced that they had a new video standard that they were going to be implementing into Chrome OS and
right.
all that stuff. That was
that
really
would supersede Flash.
Right. There was really an H.264. They called it an open source video format,
uh-huh.
and it was really the same video format that Apple and others are using. And right away, patent holders and people who helped develop this H.264 video format came out and said, wait a minute, we have patents on all these various components of it, mm-hmm. and it's impossible to put out an open source version. So this week, Google pulled their H.264 video support out of their built-in operating systems.
Which apparently is going to kind of cripple it a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, unless, they have to either pay somebody
to
implement it, pay
something.
Some royalty fees. Probably Apple will be in that mix.
Huh.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I saw that, and people on the Twitter were kind of a little bit upset about that. I was kind of watching a little
I can
bit
understand
of
that. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very. Hey, I was kind of, as I was reading some of those emails there, Splashtop has really expanded, and you can install Splashtop on any Windows computer apparently now, Adam.
So that would be a software version of Splashtop.
Yeah, it's not on a chip.
So it would almost have to partition the hard drive.
Somehow.
I'm just trying to think of how that would work. Because Splashtop, I think Splashtop originally was an embedded chip on the motherboard.
Yes, it was.
So that you chose, I want to boot from the chip on the motherboard, a little flash hard drive, or I want to boot from the computer's main hard drive. Well, if you can install it on any computer now, that means that in order for that to work, it would probably have to partition the hard drive, which I really don't like, because it's hard to undo in a lot of cases, and also because it can cause other problems down the road. But still, it's a possibility. But yeah, I'd have to partition a small portion of that hard drive and install it onto the hard drive. Then, so what it would do is go into the BIOS. Then it would have to go into some sort of bootloader, right? And then you'd have to select whether you want Splash Top or Windows. It doesn't sound as fast as the other method.
May not be. They do have another thing, a new product called Splash Top Remote. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
It's on your tablet or smartphone.
Okay.
Where you can get instant access to your desktop.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
From your...
Kind of like Linksys. Does it work on iPhone devices?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
They got a picture there of an iPad.
Cool.
Looking at your desktop.
Well, maybe I'll do that. I wonder how much that costs.
It's free.
Wow.
The cost is free.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going
to
do that.
So you're going to have to try that out.
I don't know why I'm going to do it, but I'll do it.
We'll try. But you're good about trying those things. Just try them out.
Give it a shot.
You're willing to be the guinea pig for our listeners.
That's right. That's how I find out about cool stuff, too.
That's right.
How I tell people to avoid certain things.
It goes both ways.
Do not download antivirus 2009.
Is 2011 okay?
2000, don't do that one either. I tested it several times last year. It didn't work very well.
So. Okay, that's good advice. Good advice.
You bet.
All right. Okay. I'm trying to think. Boy, since this is our third show in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Our third show in 1 week.
Well, third show in 1 week, but we went 3 weeks without having a show. So we're just trying to catch up on everything. And surprisingly, there's not a lot to catch up on. However, let's talk about digital cameras. We haven't talked about digital cameras in a long time.
That's true. Do they still make them?
There are a few out there on the market.
Okay.
Made by GE and a lot of other companies make them. But
Polaroid?
Polaroid's out there, yeah. Okay. There's a lot of great companies out there. Vivitar, a lot of good companies making them. Anyway, and also, the normal, the shoddy Canons and Nikons are out there,
putting
too.
Putting our jest aside for a second, I did read recently that the sales of point-and-shoot cameras are really dropping for two reasons. One is cheaper SLR, digital SLRs.
Yeah.
And also the fact that almost every phone today has a decent camera.
Yeah, a good
point and shoot.
Yeah, exactly. I've been blown away. The 5-megapixel camera that's on my Samsung
Epic
cell phone is better than the first 5-megapixel camera I had. Now, it doesn't have a zoom lens and all those stuff. So when you buy a point and shoot, you have to keep that in mind. One thing that is happening this year that's been noted is megapixels have gone up again, which they haven't done for two years.
What's our standard?
Our standard is between 14 and 16 now.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
So for a while they held at 10 and 12 and nothing happened for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. But now the new cameras coming out in the $100 to $200 price point are 14 to 16 megapixels. However, smaller pixels on the same size chip, doesn't make a better picture. So you still want to look into that and find out what you really want before you go out there and invest on something with more megapixels.
So it's still the same. Megapixels don't say everything.
Exactly. Same
still
story.
All about the chip and the quality of the lens and the chip.
Lens and chip and size of chip and all that stuff. But there's another thing that happened this year is the price point has fallen on entry-level cameras.
Okay.
So if you want to go out and buy a Canon or a Nikon or an Olympus or whatever, you're looking at $70 for the entry level now, $69.99.
And that's still a better camera than we could get 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And it's going to be beautiful. I mean, Kodak's been kind of in that price point for a while now, but now Kodak has a lot of competition from all the other manufacturers. Most of them have 3x zooms on them.
Okay. Which is your typical for point and shoot.
Typical for point and shoot has been for a while, but what's happening is the next price point up is now getting smaller compact cameras with 10x zooms on them.
Nice.
So you get a camera that still
Panasonic
fits in your pocket.
Has led the way in that a lot.
Panasonic's doing some great stuff. Yeah. Panasonic and to some degree Kodak, but Panasonic has really been doing a good job at making a very compact camera with nice optics that pull back into the camera so you can still put it in your pocket.
Right.
So that's mostly what's going on. We saw megapixels go up to 14 to 16. Also, HD video recording has been added to most of the mid-range.
Now your digital SLRs are coming down to like $500.
Yeah, Yeah, for an entry right? level, about $499 is a good spot to come in with mm-hmm. a camera with a lens, mm-hmm. Both from Nikon and Canon. There was the other big company too that.
Well, I know Sony's gotten a little bit of mm-hmm. airtime this year and saying yep. that they've come a long way with their digital SLR, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sony bought Minolta,
and ever since then,
Sony's been crawling up the ladder a little bit.
They've been ramping
up. The other
up.
Ones too are Samsung, who bought.
Yeah, yeah.
Samsung bought Sigma. Pentax.
Oh, they bought. I've been out of the digital camera.
It's been a long time, but anyway. So we're starting to see those camera companies get over the shock of being bought by electronics companies, uh-huh. and now they're really starting to innovate. And there's been some really cool stuff coming out. Panasonic has done some cool stuff. They have a new camera called the GH2 that is really nice, shoots full HD video. Most of these cameras, except for Nikon and Canon, surprisingly, mm-hmm. who are the original camera companies, most of these cameras have image stabilization built into the camera, so you don't need to spend a lot of money on a new lens to make it work. Sony right. does that and a lot of these others. But so that's one thing to look at. If you're considering a new camera, you may want to really go take a – what I'd suggest is getting an SD card, uh-huh. going around to all the different camera shops, taking pictures with the different cameras, and coming home and comparing the different images for yourself, because what one person likes and what one person says is a good camera is – you know, maybe totally different.
Well, the other nice thing about that idea is that you're taking the picture.
Right.
So you're holding it, and maybe mm-hmm. your handhold and the yeah. way you interact with the camera is going to be different. Yeah.
Don't ever feel like you need to speed through it, or you know, there's a salesman over the corner or something like that. You know, that's what these stores are here for. I do think that if the price difference isn't that much more, you should buy it wherever you play with the camera the most. That's just kind of an ethical thing for me, but
right, because you're using their service.
Using their service and all of that.
If it's $100 difference.
If it's $100 difference, I don't bother. Yeah.
Go to exactly. Abe's Maine.
There's lots of places. Yeah. You know, Beach Camera, there's Amazon.
And I'll tell you what, more and more as I do price comparison with almost anything,
uh-huh.
Amazon has become the low price leader.
Amazon really is.
In a lot of different yeah. things.
Yeah, you just shop it, and that's partly because Amazon has so many affiliates.
Right.
You really, when you buy something from Amazon, you need to understand that there's two different ways that you're buying something. You're right. either buying it from Amazon directly, or you're buying it from one of their, not affiliates, but whatever.
I don't know what you would call it, a vendor or a partner.
Yeah, but they're basically, you're buying it from a different place just mm-hmm. using Amazon as the channel, and that can be kind of a crapshoot. You want to look in there and read the reviews of the different stores that you buy it. I've noticed shipping makes a big difference in those if it's important that
That's
you get
right.
it quick. Amazon may tell you can rush it and all of that, but if you're not buying it from Amazon proper,
and they
you never
do,
know.
You know, to their credit, they do make it pretty well evident yeah. that this is not Amazon you're buying
exactly.
it from.
Exactly. Yep.
And so make sure you are watching that, because that's important.
Right.
And then when you are buying from a partner, then it becomes even more important for you to read the reviews about that particular yeah. partner.
This year, I only bought one Christmas gift in a local store.
Really?
Yeah. Of course, I only bought 5 Christmas gifts.
Okay. But it's still 20%.
Everything was online,
20%.
Yeah.
Hey, now, you and I both get a lot of questions about what do you recommend.
Sure.
So since you brought up cameras, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
If you were asked today,
ooh, man.
What camera, if I wanted to buy a camera, a point and shoot,
right.
for less than $150,
oh.
what would be your choice?
You know what?
As of
honestly,
right now?
I would tell people to go out there and pick the one that they like the best, the prettiest one with a name brand on it.
Okay.
If you want more features, Canon has a ton of features. Kodak is the simplest to use. You turn them on and you push the button. If you like to play a little bit with the photography settings in there, Nikons do pretty nice, but Nikons also, when they're low end, can be kind of shoddy cameras. So, you know, I tend to avoid Olympus. I think their images are too sharp, but it's what people like. I mean, there's too much software sharpening in them.
Uh-huh.
But you know, really, I don't think the average person looking for a point and shoot is not going to be disappointed by any camera they pick up. I've been more impressed by Kodak. The images that come out of a lot of Kodak cameras.
Are they still coming pretty color saturated?
Yeah, they are, but it's it's beautiful.
It looks,
you know,
more
it's
natural.
Like shooting with Velvia or Previa, you know, shooting with really nice slide film that already enhances the colors.
Okay.
It's going to be kind of the same thing. So okay. I think it's great. And you can always go
and
in
Kodak
the software.
Kodak always has good prices.
Yeah, Kodak's a low-end camera, and they're pretty durable cameras. I drop them 4 or 5 times before they actually break. So,
hey, and I do have a question for you on this. I haven't been to DP Review forever.
Sure.
And on the side here, it's got the latest reviews, and then it has percentages. What is that percentage?
You know what? I don't know.
See down there?
That's a good question.
62%.
That could be the number of people who click on it.
I don't
or
know.
Who like it. I don't.
So you're
I have
not
no
sure.
idea.
You're not sure.
I don't
okay.
know. And in fact, DP Review, I keep in my RSS feed. And I watch it, but I hardly ever visit their site.
Okay. I just was curious.
And I read whenever a new review comes out.
Now, they were bought by whom?
Amazon.
Oh, they were bought by Amazon.
Yeah, they're an Amazon company now. Now, the cool thing about deep, or probably with SLRs, because a lot of people are moving up to SLR cameras away from point-and-shoots, because they're using their cell phone for their point-and-shoot. The SLRs, my favorite one on the market right now is the Canon T2i. That's a horrible name for a camera. That's why I can't remember it. But yeah, the Canon T2i. And, you know, it's
backward compatible with your existing lenses.
Backward compatible with existing lenses, as long as you have an autofocus lens.
768 megapixel.
Not quite that much. Close. I think it is. That's the, I don't have it open here in front of me, but I think it's 14 megapixel.
Okay. But on the SLRs, you automatically get a larger chip, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, really?
No, not necessarily.
So in those bodies, they don't always put a bigger
chip?
Not
always. Not always. It can be generally bigger than a small SLR chip, but not necessarily. There are some point-and-shoots that use the same one.
Size chip.
But the Canon T2i shoots HD video.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think it's 14 megapixel. It's just a beautiful camera. Nice and solid. It is an entry-level camera, but you wouldn't know that by the images that come off of it. It does really, really nice.
You'll have to look that up. Now, the other thing before we get off cameras and pictures is there was a news story maybe a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, about the last Kodachrome film to be developed.
Yep. To be produced, yeah.
Yeah, and that, because I guess, were they developing it in Europe right now, or was it in
the US? I didn't read the story.
But it was
story.
The last role.
Yeah,
ever.
It's done. They're not making any more Kodachrome.
Very
Mama took my Kodachrome away.
Yeah.
There you
so
go.
So those folks have been holding on to the last minute for film. It's gone.
18 megapixels. The Canon
T2i. I wondered
T2i.
If it'd be higher than 14.
Yep, I was wrong. It's Canon T2i.
It wasn't quite 678.
It's about $1,000 with the lens.
Okay.
You can get a lot less than that, though. I've seen it for $750 a few times.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Very cool. Hey, I got an email here from T. Wells. Then I'll go do a few more emails. T. Wells lives in Vermont. He has AOL email, and when I use the write box and type, nothing happens.
Okay.
So I can't send email on this computer.
Hmm.
So the one thing he did not mention is whether he's using AOL Mail in a browser or if he's using the AOL software.
That's what I was wondering too. First thing I would check just
or
to
she.
Troubleshoot
I don't know
it.
Is a she or he?
I'm assuming it's a browser. I don't know though.
I'm not sure. So I'm going to say if you're using the AOL software, you're clicking on an AOL icon, the little triangle. Try going to AOL Mail in your browser. If it's still not working in your browser and you're using Internet Explorer, download Firefox or Google Chrome and try it that way.
Right.
Because chances are there's something in Internet Explorer.
I'm guessing that it's in the browser and their pop-up blocker is turned on.
Well, but he sees, according to this message, he can see the message, but when he clicks in the body and tries to type, he can't.
So
nothing
it's
happens.
Coming up, although... Yeah. Yeah.
So, if it is Internet Explorer, you can search Internet Explorer at helpmerick.com, and I have a reset Internet Explorer at helpmerick.com, and that may help as well.
Yeah.
So there you have 3 or 4 ideas.
Stop using Internet Explorer.
Yeah, that would be the number one. That's the number one idea.
Firefox is the most compatible, I think, but Chrome is the most fun. So.
Yeah, I agree.
I have the most fun with Chrome. I really like Chrome a lot.
Good. Here's Thomas from Palisade. He wants to load Linux on Ubuntu on one of his machines. I've never used this operating system, but I'm looking forward to learning more about it and playing with it. My question is, can it be loaded in sequence with XP? And when booting up, do you have the option on which operating system you want to use? And the answer is yes and yes. If you choose, and this is a non, this is a computer you really don't care what happens to it. I've always been a little bit scared of dual booting, especially for the average computer Joe. But I found that it's really not as scary as I once thought, and it does work okay. But it is telling your computer to do two different things, and if you have a problem on one, it could cause a problem on the other. So be careful with that. But the answer is yes. You'll even have that option when you set it up. Do you want to run? And you can actually run it two ways with Ubuntu. You can run it as a complete separate operating system that actually partitions or formats part of your hard drive, or you can run it as a kind of a pseudo application where you can add and remove Ubuntu from the Windows XP very simply. So you'll get that option when you boot up from the Windows or from the Ubuntu disk. But give it a try. I think you'll enjoy it. All right, I'm going to do one more here, Adam. One more email for the day. And this is from Shelby in Pennsylvania. She received an iPod Touch for my birthday and used a friend's computer to register and get all my songs.
Yep.
We are no longer friends.
Yeah.
Is my iPod Touch now worthless? We no longer speak to each other. What do I do?
Oh, it's not worthless, but you might lose all your songs.
Yeah, you're probably going to lose your songs.
Yeah.
And you could run this. There are ways to get your songs off of there, but they're very convoluted and very difficult to do.
Yeah.
If you've lost your friend, you can go into your iPod Touch, and it's under settings, and then I think it's going to be under about or somewhere. In fact, I can tell you real quickly. but you can go in and totally reset your iPod Touch.
Well, you can do it when you hook your, if you don't mind losing your songs, when you hook your iPod Touch to the new computer, it will say, this is not the computer that was originally used. Do you want to erase this whole thing and start over?
Now, I know you can also sync. If you go into iTunes on your computer and authorize that computer to sync,
right,
you might be able to even keep your music and maybe just add apps to it and stuff. I don't know.
Right.
Apple does make those kinds of things kind of funky. If you do want to reset it, as Adam said, you can do it via the iTunes. Or on your phone, you go to Settings, General, and at the very bottom of General, there's an option to reset. And that would be the other way to go. But your iPod Touch is not worthless.
No.
And your life is not worthless because you lost your
friend. In fact, that music wasn't that good anyway. Start over.
Yeah, if she wasn't that good of a friend.
Good idea to start over and just get some new music on there.
Get a fresh start to life.
Borrow your CDs from your friends and
your other friends.
Yeah, your other friends. Rip them to your computer and sync with your computer.
Or just listen to Pandora. Just listen to Pandora.
Go to Pandora. Download the Pandora app. Directly, you know, find a Wi-Fi hotspot, download a Pandora app, and you're good. The other thing, too, is you can do so much now from the phone itself that you may not even... I know people who never sync. They've bought an iPhone, and they've never synchronized it with their computer at all.
They just do it all via the phone.
They buy everything directly from the phone. Yep.
Yeah. And which is very possible.
There you go.
All right. Well, Adam, do you have anything else?
I really don't have much. There's not many other things that we can't save till next week. We need to have something to talk about on the next show.
That's true. We still have a few more emails in the email box, so we can get to them next week.
Yeah.
And if you are listening today on, which I know you're not, but you can go back
you
to
never
comics.com and go to January the 12th, or is 12th or 13th? What's today?
Today is the 13th.
Oh, the 13th. Go back to January the 13th. And read today's Herman.
There you go.
Herman is good today.
It is good indeed. It is good indeed.
Well, I'm Rick Castellini at HelpMeRick.com and HelpMeRick on Twitter.
And I'm Adam Cochran at TalkingDigital.org and TalkingDigital on Twitter.
Have a great day.
See ya.
This is a Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at TalkingDigital.org.